So good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming, and I hope you're not really tired from a long night. So I'm going to talk today about the heat stress. Now to look at the how we use temperatures in crop phenology models, and this study was published recently in Crop Science. For just an outline, I'm going to go through some background for the study, some then objective, then methodology, and at the end I will share some results. For those of you not familiar with rice in California, which I wasn't when I came to California about 5-6 years ago, we have about 500,000 acres. It's predominantly concentrated about Sacramento Valley, which is the northern part, in 5 or 6 counties there, and the reason is because we have really heavy clay soils in that area. The whole industry is about like $5 billion a year or per annual basis. Just the question comes into how crop phenology models and the importance of that in the field application and the broader aspect, how we can use it in field for the growers and as well as for the research type, is that crop phenology models or in general crop growth models have been widely used in different studies to evaluate crop response to climate change. Most of you should have seen a lot of the studies to look at the technological changes or and also management practices that we do. And also, if you be in rice, southern United States, we have DDTN model that basically provides a prediction for developmental stages that growers can use it for what field activity and management they can use in field. And also, part of this study, we developed similar model for California rice that can be used by our breeders or as well as our growers that can farm their more efficiency. So with that, I just want to give you some background about crop phenology models. The temperature-based phenology models usually use often use the thermal time model as to compute the developmental rate, and that's basically using the cardinal temperature as the basis. If I can get this right, basically the thermal time is accumulates from the base temperature to optimum temperature, and after that, it's assumed that there is no developmental development happens above the maximum temperature or below the base temperature. So in many different crop models, for example, series rice or the Oryza 2000, different function is employed, but the basis of all those are the same, that they use the thermal time and thermal threshold for each stage to declare that that stage is happening. So overall, one thing that is common in all these crop phenology models is that they assume that plants' response to temperature is the same across all the stages, and therefore they use the constant temperature parameters for a whole period of the developmental stages from planting to maturity, which ignores the part that there is variation, and in some previous study was suggested that the optimal temperature differs, and therefore maybe we need to revisit our assumption and see if using a stage specific thermal time would actually improve the prediction accuracy of the models, which is the main objective of this study. Another issue that was raised by recent studies was that using the default temperature parameters in these crop phenology models leads to systematic error. Systematic error is basically when you plot your model prediction error versus the mean temperature during that time, and if you see a trend in the that implies that there is a temperature dependent with your prediction error, and that means if the slope of the line was 2, and if between warm and cold years you had 2 degrees Celsius difference, that implies 2 degrees per degree Celsius change in temperature, you have 2 days model bias in your prediction, which in this study in Van Oort et al. In 2011, they suggested by optimizing the cardinal temperature, you can reduce the bias and having that corrected. So they use the Oryza 2000 in their study. So as I mentioned, the main objective for this study was to see if the plant response to temperature differs across developmental stages, and if those optimal temperature differs, and if by using those different thermal time for those stages, we can increase the prediction accuracy of the model as well as reducing the systematic error. I'm not going to get really to agronomic part of this, but we had six fields in during 2012 and 2014, basically in six counties, the main rice-producing region of California. We collected data for 50% panicle initiation, 50% heading, and R7. We use R7 stage. This growing stage was developed by Counts et al. 2000. R7 is when the first yellow hole appears on the main stem panicle, which is approximately when the growers drain their field before harvest time. It's about 2 weeks before physiological maturity in that case. And we use it for proxy to physiological maturity in here. The weather data, we use the California CIMS weather stations. There are about 114 weather stations around the state, but we used about four different stations in that area, which is our fields were within 20 kilometer diameter from the weather stations. We used seven rice cultivars in this study to cover the different range of maturation. In California, usually growers prefer early maturing varieties, and it consists of about 70 to 75% of the cultivars. But the main variety is M206, which is about 50%, covers 50% of the area, and is most of our varietals, there is a temperate Japonica in California, which is they're more cold tolerant than the varieties we use in southern United States. Three main growth stages were covered in this study: panicle initiation, 50% heading, and R7. They're really important because panicle initiation is really important because you can't really see it unless you go cut the panicle, and that's a 1 or 2 days window you have to see that. If you can see that green ring that appears, is basically the last leaf initiation on the node. So that's really important because the growers wants to raise the water during that stage to protect the panicle from the cold weather and get reduce the blanking and flower sterility. 50% heading is important for a lot of breeding programs and other studies, and R7, which is for the management for the draining and also proxy to physiological maturity. Just given the model that we used, it was DD10 model that is used widely in southern U.S. It's a really simple model that uses basically the mean temperature minus base, has two different thresholds for the minimum temperature and maximum. Basically, no development happens above the optimum and also lower threshold. And also in DD10, which is used in here in southern U.S., is the default cardinal temperature is about 10 C for T base and 34.4 Celsius for T optimum. For each stage, it's assumed that there is a thermal time threshold, and when you and the developmental rate is basically daily thermal time divided by a total thermal time threshold for that given stage. We calculated the systematic error by basically taking the slope between the error and the, as I explained, the other graph. This in here, basically the slope between the your model prediction error and the mean temperature during that stage. Basically the slope of the trend line for your model error. For model performance evaluation, we use the five-fold cross-validation because of the data set we had. We had to use the cross-validation to do the calibration and validation. And the results that I'm going to present later in next slide is the mean of the five sample RMSEs. For model optimization and to see if to test the hypothesis that this optimal temperature differs across developmental stages, we did three different optimization approaches. First, we call it DD-opt or optimum. Basically, we assume that the thermal time is the same across all the stages, the same practice that is done right now. The second, we use the two-stage, which is basically we did optimize the parameters from planting to heading and heading to mature to R7. And in the last optimization approach, we did three-stage, basically panicle initiation to heading, to planting to panicle initiation, PI to heading, and heading to R7 stage to see if that they're different than each other. We use the R statistical computing for doing the optimization. We use the optim function, and our optimization objective was to minimize root mean square error and also the minimizing the systematic error in our model. So to wrap up the results, the results going to be really focused on the cultivar mean RMSEs. So I'm not going to go to details for each cultivar. We saw there was not much difference. That's why I'm going to present the mean in here. The DD10, which was basically we used it with the default temperature parameters, was not poor. The prediction was poor for California climate, and as you can see, using the DD opt, just basically calibrating those temperature parameters for California, increased the prediction accuracy between 2 to 3 days for each stage, from planting to panicle initiation, PI to heading, and heading to R7. Getting to our main hypothesis in here, we found that the temperature parameters, they differ between the stages that we studied. So from planting to heading and the heading to maturity, and if you look at the two-stage model optimization, the base temperature and optimum differed. The main point in here would be that we found that the base temperature is highest early in the season versus optimum temperature is highest later in the season. So the implication of that is that it means that when you have lower base temperature and higher T optimum later in the developmental stages, the rate of the thermal time accumulation is slower. Basically, if this is the slope of the line, if earlier in the, for example, planting to PI, if your base temperature is 11 and optimum is 28, so this would be the rate, or the slope of the line would be the rate. But versus the later stage, if your base temperature is 8 and optimum is 30, so the slope of the line going to be less steep. It means your thermal time accumulation is slower. And that would imply that using a stage-dependent temperature parameters would increase, lead to better accuracy. And when we did also this temperature sensitivity analysis, we also found supported our results that, yes, planting to panicle initiation was more sensitive, responsive to temperature than planting to heading. We did the covariance analysis to see if the trend lines are significantly different than each other. So we found that planting to PI was significantly different from planting to from heading to R7, but there was no difference between planting to PI and PI to heading. And coming to putting this together to having the model results, we found that the using a stage-dependent temperature parameters from the planting to heading and heading to maturity versus using the constant temperature across all the stages, increase the prediction accuracy by 1 day and also reduce the systematic error by another day. And that's basically, if you look at this graph, just look into planting to PI for the root mean square error and the systematic error, we see that the two-stage optimization significantly increase the model accuracy and also decrease the systematic error. And also using the three-stage optimization basically further improve our model accuracy by another day for both systematic error and root mean square error. And further suggested showed that using this optimization approach increased the overall accuracy. So as a conclusion, we found that the contrary to what is believed and assumed in crop models before, temperature parameters differ across these developmental stages, and the response of plant to temperature is different in different stages, and therefore using that the stage-dependent parameters can increase prediction accuracy for phenology model, which would have a wider application for our crop growth model that has been used for many field research and as well as for applied application in the farm level. With that, I'd like to thank our Agroecosystem Lab at University of California, Davis, and especially Cesar Abluniro that helped me a lot collecting data for the last 3 or 4 years, and also the funding that came from the California Rice Research Board and also the Food and Agriculture and USDA. So thank you.
Number of parameters in the model, and that should help reduce error. Are you worried about that a little bit?
Yes, that's, I think, not for model error, because the objection of the optimization is set to reduce the error, but the trade-off would be the time to run the model. And that's been a problem, because if you look at the DSAT model, which uses the series rise, or the Oriza 2000, they use the Fortran, which uses C as the platform or to run the model. And what we did, because I use R, so R can be a lot slower, but if you use the C package in R, you can actually decrease that time. For example, in like the DD opt, we just had three parameters: base temperature, maximum temperature, and optimum temperature in during the whole growing season, versus now if you have three stages, you have nine. So it's just the thing that how many parameters should be run.
I think you're sort of missing the point. I'm not worried about speed of the model. I'm worried about if you have more parameters, you're chasing the same number of data points. But I do agree with your point about stages that have different heat, even cardinal temperatures. So, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but statistically, I mean, for us, the model is being set to reduce the root mean square error. Maybe in some degree, yes, I agree with you. That might be a little bit, there might be trade-off if you look at the shorter time. Yes. Dennis.
How did you determine that the temperature from in the early period was the most sensitive?
Basically, doing this the plotting. So one thing that's been, we got when we returned the when we saw that the base temperature and optimum temperature differ across these stages, and also when we did the covariance analysis for the observed days versus the mean temperature. So if you have observed days to a stage versus the mean temperature, and you see if there's a trend line, if there's no response for the stage to temperature, you shouldn't see any the correlation between the two. So if you see any correlation, the assumption is that the data stage is responsive to temperature.